Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
How many of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I'll just say this. Don't let the response of the person next to you dictate your response. I said, how many of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen? There you go. That's a good word right there. Give me one second. So last week I had every intention on completing the lesson that we had started, which was entitled Awaken Me. And we won't have the verses on the screen or anything like that tonight, but I pray that you brought your Bible, and I pray that you have that ready. And so we started in the book of Luke chapter 9, and there's a few verses from about, I believe it's about 28 or so to 34, 35. And we started this message entitled Awaken Me last night. It was a word that the Lord had put on my heart for, I believe, the church, and that includes you and I. And in the Word of God, this particular passage of Scripture is where there is a transfiguration of Jesus, and there's Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, and of course Jesus representing the Lord and representing, you know, the new covenant that was to come. And so these three are represented in these verses, and there's this awesome thing that happened for Peter and for John and some of the disciples. They were able to witness this monumental moment. Now, picture with me, if you will, if you were, you know, in church and all of a sudden Moses appears and Elijah appears. Let's throw a few more in. Abraham and David and Ruth and Mary. All of a sudden, you're in the middle of this moment. There's this beautiful, beautiful just picture that's happening right before you. And you're so busy in your heart. You're so weighed down in your life. You're so burdened. You're so kind of out of touch with what's actually happening that you miss the moment. Now, that would be a tragic thing. Amen? That would be a tragic thing to miss the moment that God had just literally put right in front of you. I mean, he had ordained this meeting, he had ordained this gathering, and yet the Bible says that they missed this moment, or they missed part of this moment because they were asleep and they were sleepy. Now, I believe that this kind of translates into our spiritual walk with God. You can either be awake or you can be asleep in the spirit. You can be alert and you can be aware of the presence of God around you and what the Lord is doing, or you can be completely oblivious to it because your heart and your mind are somewhere else. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so this looks a lot like when we are not taking the time to nourish this relationship with the Lord that we have, that is feeding in the Word, that is spending time in prayer, that is worshiping and thanking God, that is doing the things that we know to do to connect closer to the heart of God. When we fail to do these things, all of a sudden our body, our spirit man, can become dormant and can become completely unaware and can completely miss what the Lord is doing. This looks like this. We've had amazing times where the glory of God is just in the room and he's moving, and a couple people get it, but not everybody's getting it. A couple people are on fire and they're going, oh, Jesus, man, this is awesome and this is amazing. And the guy next to him is going like, what's wrong with them? They're looking at him and they have no idea what's going on. And Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's touching. He's blessing. He's in the midst. But because of their spiritual being tuned out, or their spiritual sleep, if you will, they can completely miss out on what the Holy Ghost is doing. And so the challenge kind of for you, last week we just brought a couple things to our attention. That was that in moments like these, if you're not spiritually alert, If you're not in tune, the Bible says to walk in step with the Spirit. That means as he goes, we follow. Amen? As he leads, we're there. As he's doing, we are trying to be as close to him as possible. The reason for the closeness is because, again, there's things that the Holy Spirit might want us to do, but we can miss. And I don't want that for any one of you, and I bet that you don't want that for yourself. Amen? The Holy Spirit could have some great miracle standing right in front of you, but you could be asleep. I brought up the story in Acts chapter 12, and if you have your Bible, you can open it there, and I'll just recap quickly, and then we'll get into Luke 9. Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 5, is kind of an awesome story here, but there's this story that happened in the book of Acts where Peter was imprisoned, and Peter was he had been held captive, and he was now, you know, locked up. He was bound in chains, and Peter was completely, you know, stuck where they had him. And the Bible teaches us that there was this intercession that began to happen inside the church. How many know that there should always be intercession in the church? Amen? The Bible calls it this house a house of what? A house of prayer. Doesn't say it'd be a house of worship. Doesn't say it'd be a house of the word. It says it'd be a house of prayer. Why? Because that's where your Father lives. That's his home. In prayer. When you pray, you're connecting to the Father. When you pray, you're connecting to the Father's heart. So there's this commission that was given to this church, and they were to pray, they were going to intercede because Peter was imprisoned. Now, for some of you, if your friend or family member was locked up in a local jail or prison, you probably wouldn't pray. You probably ask the guard for bail money, or you'd say, would you let him out? You know, there was probably a million other things that you would do besides pray. But here we see that they're asked to pray. So verse 5, Acts chapter 12, verse 5 says, the church went into a season of intense intercession. This wasn't like I showed up to church, I prayed for 2 minutes, and then it was over. This wasn't, you know, just your, I'm at McDonald's, Lord bless my food in Jesus' name. It wasn't that kind of prayer. This was knocking on the door of the Father and saying, Lord, what can you do about this? Free this captive. It says they went into a season of intense intercession, asking God to free him. The night before, Herod planned to bring him to trial, and he made sure that Peter was securely bound with two chains. Peter was sound asleep between two soldiers with additional guards stationed outside his cell door when all at once an angel of the Lord appeared, filling his prison cell with a brilliant light. And it says, and the angel struck Peter on the side to awaken him, and he says, hurry up, let's go. Instantly, the chains fell off his wrists. And the angel told him, get dressed. Put on your sandals and bring your cloak and follow me. Verse 9, Peter quickly then left the cell and followed the angel, even though he thought it was only a dream or a vision, for it seemed unreal because he couldn't believe it was really happening. So Peter is literally just been set free. And what's happening? He doesn't realize it's happening. Anybody ever sleepwalked? Okay, don't admit it, but you know, if you've ever sleepwalked, your spouse will probably admit it. I've walked down the stairs of my house by the grace of God. Because there's been times where I've walked downstairs at 3, 4 in the morning. I have no idea. Next thing I know, I'm standing in front of the fridge getting a glass of water. And I have no idea. I don't remember from the bed to the stairs or to the fridge. But God got me there back and forth safely. And there's sometimes this mode that we can go into as Christians where we're actually sleepwalking. You're completely missing everything that's happening around you. You're completely missing the person that needs your help. You're completely missing the person that you need to pray for because you're sleepwalking. Peter, in this case right now, is practically sleepwalking. He thinks it's a dream. He thinks it's a vision. He didn't believe that it was real. And then verse 10 says, then they walked unseen past the first guard post and then the second before coming to the iron gate that leads to the city. And the gate swung open all by itself right in front of them. And it says, and they went out into the city, and they were walking down a narrow street when all of a sudden the angel disappeared. Verse 11 says, that's when Peter realized that he wasn't having a dream. So now Peter's like, okay, that just happened. Anybody ever had that just happened moment? The Lord's, it says, that's when Peter realized that he wasn't having a dream. He says to himself, this is really happening. And the Lord sent his angel to rescue me from the clutches of Herod and from what the Jewish leaders planned to do to me. Verse 12, it says, when he realized this, he decided to go to the home of Mary and her son, John Mark. The house was filled with people, what? Praying. When he knocked on the door to the courtyard, a young servant girl named Rhoda got up to see who it was. It says, when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so excited that she forgot to open the door. But she ran back inside the house to announce that Peter is standing outside. Verse 15, are you crazy? They said to her. But she kept insisting, they answered. Well, it must be his angel. And it says, meanwhile, Peter was still outside, knocking on the door when they finally opened it. And they were shocked to find Peter standing there. Now, there's a few things that happened here. I believe it's this. There's a lot of points that I could make out of this, but there's a few that I want to highlight. One is this: the church got the situation right. When there's somebody in captivity, you need to pray. Amen? You need to pray. Don't go throw the Bible at them, okay? Don't try to drag them to church. Don't try to do this and that. First, you need to pray. Amen? Because there's something that the Spirit can unlock that your voice, your words, your encouragement, your invitation cannot do. Amen? There's something that happens when we, you know, deploy the Holy Spirit. We send out those angels of the Lord. We say, Lord, I need you to break this chain. Because when the chain is broken, there is 1,000% evidence that it was God that did the work. Amen? But there has to be that beginning that it starts with prayer. They prayed for the release of Peter. But the guy that received the miracle didn't even know what was happening. He thought it was a dream. And it's kind of funny because there's times where I believe that you will be praying for somebody and they do not even know what is going on in their life. But all of a sudden they are being drawn into the presence of Jesus. All of a sudden they're being drawn into the Lord. They're beginning to want what you have. They're beginning to desire the Lord in your life. This is what prayer does. Peter then realizes he's free. He goes to this house. And it was a young girl. The Bible doesn't say that it was the elders. The Bible doesn't say that it was the people praying. The Bible says it was a young girl that heard the voice. And there's something about that that sticks out to me, and I believe it's this, is that the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven belongs to these, which is who? Children. There is this responsibility in the kingdom, church, that we never lose the heart of a child. You never lose the heart of a child. He is still your father. He's still your father, even though he's ageless. We come to him as father. We acknowledge him as father. We come just like you would go to your father, just like you would go to an earthly father, a spiritual father. You come to him as a child. And this girl, this child, heard Peter's voice. She heard that he was there. And it was so funny that because she got so excited, she actually kind of missed the assignment. She didn't even open the door. She was so excited that there was a miracle standing there that she completely forgets to even open the door. And everybody is praying and everyone is praying. And so sometimes I believe, church, that there is a miracle standing at your door, but you might be too asleep or too whatever to receive it. The very thing that you asked God for, the very thing that you were praying for, the very thing that you said, God, this is what I want in your life, God could have brought it to you on a silver platter. It could literally be standing at your door. I love that verse in Revelation. The Bible says that Jesus says, I stand at your door and I do what? I knock. But is a person that's asleep going to know that somebody's knocking on the door? Nope. Is a person that's not aware that, you know, that somebody's actually there, you know? No. Unless you got that new doorbell camera thing, then maybe you'll wake up. But Jesus doesn't work with doorbell cameras. He works with the responsibility that he's given us as believers to pray, to read the word, to connect with him in the ways that he has given us the ability to do so. And so I believe that sometimes, church, there is answered prayer standing right at our door, but we have to be sensitive enough to what the Lord is doing to identify that the miracle has actually shown up. And so I asked last week, have you missed the direction or the message that the Lord has desired to speak to you for that moment or in that situation? Luke 9 and 32, and this is basically where we left off last week. The Bible says that Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. I love that. When they finally became fully awake, they saw the glory of God. They saw the glory of God standing, and it says, and they saw two men standing with him. You see, I believe had they not been fully awake physically, mentally, or in any of those ways, they would have missed out on the glory of God. They would have completely missed out on what the Lord was doing. And so the question of the hour is, are you giving God your full attention? Are you giving God, you know, your spiritual life? Are you feeding that? Are you saying, Lord, I'm trying to be alert? The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says to be alert, to be sober because of what? Your adversary. It says be sober and be alert, for your adversary is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. So there's something that the Lord is wanting to teach us about being alert, about being awake, about having our spiritual eyes open. Because that also means that you can see when the enemy is trying to do something in your life. Amen? But if you're asleep, you're probably an easy target. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 4 says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. It says, but we are all sons of the light and sons of the day. It says, we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and let us be self-controlled. Amen? So the world isn't aware of what God wants to do. The world isn't aware of the plan of God in the world, but I believe that's reserved for the children of God who know him and for the children that have a relationship with him. You see, this is the way the Lord works. I believe, though, like a good child does, they listen to their Heavenly Father. Obedience is probably the biggest thing that parents desire to receive from their children. Amen? Yeah. You don't want to have to tell them 50 times to do something, right? We would like that it would be a one-time-only kind of thing. That's not always the case. And neither is it the case in how we respond to the voice of God in our life. But I believe that we should be those people, church, that are still childlike enough in our faith, but yet alert enough in our faith that we can hear the voice of God when he is speaking into our life. I believe that it wasn't by chance that the child in that room of praying people was the one that knew that the miracle was at the doorstep. Because again, there is something that's so simple about the way children function. We make things complicated. We make things distracting. We make things busy. We overbear ourselves with things that I believe just get in the way from us hearing the voice of God. Jesus displayed what it was like to have a perfect child and father relationship. Amen? And there was often times that you read in the Word of God where Jesus would go away and he would separate himself. But what was he doing? The separation was actually a closeness and a time of closeness with his Father. You see, we can separate ourselves, and we should separate ourselves from people just for a minute so that we can get close to our Father. Amen? That should be something that's normal. That should be something that's okay to do. Or do it as a family. however you wish. But the truth is there needs to be a time of connecting to the Father. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40 says, this is the night before, this is the night of Jesus' betrayal. Matthew 26 and 40 says, then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. He says, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Peter was always asleep, I guess. he was asleep in the prison. He was asleep in the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 26, Peter's asleep. So maybe, I don't know if you guys know a guy like Peter that's always asleep, but apparently Peter was always sleeping. He says, could you men not keep watch for me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak, or the flesh is weak. And so I pray that we don't miss out on the glory of God. Because this is a divine moment. This is a divine appointment that the Lord has for every single one of us. And so, as we keep going, in Luke 9, what happens with Peter is this, is that he gets to the spot where he could misinterpret the meeting. You see, when you're not sober and you're not alert in the Lord, you can completely misinterpret the meeting. Have you ever been around that person in school or that person at work that didn't listen in a meeting? Anybody know who I'm talking about? If you didn't raise your hand, maybe that was you. But you've been around those people that can completely misinterpret something. Somebody's telling a joke, and as they're telling the joke, you know, everybody laughs, you know, at the punchline, and then there's that one guy that goes, I'm sorry, what'd they say? What was it? Don't be that guy, okay? Don't be that guy. But what are they doing? They're not paying attention. And in their not paying attention, they're actually not alert. And what's happening is they can completely misinterpret the message. They could completely misinterpret what was actually said because they didn't hear the whole thing. They only heard part of it. Or they had somebody repeat it to them. Now, I believe that when there's when we are spiritually awake, there is no better connection than a direct connection between you and God. I'm a pastor. This is what I do. But I would much rather see you have a direct connection with God instead of always relying on me to have a connection for you. Amen. You have the connection that I have. The Bible says that let us boldly go before the throne of grace. You have the connection to get to heaven. Amen. You have that access point just like I do. And so it's one of those things where we say, hey, you know what? You have the opportunity. And so if you remember that game as children, I think it was called, what was it called? Phone call? Anybody know what that, what's it called, Mandy? You know what, where kids whisper into each other's ears and they whisper something into one ear and then it goes all the way down. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. So if I was to whisper something in one of your ears and you were to repeat it to the next person by whispering and you were to repeat it to the next person by whispering, by the time it got from the initial source to the end, what is it? It's completely just scrambled. Makes zero sense at all. I would have said, you know, my wife is the best person in the world and I love the way she makes tacos. And it probably would have been interpreted as, you know, spaghetti, socks, on my head at night. You know, it would make zero sense. This is what happens when you rely on others to do the work that you've been given access to do on yourself, for yourself. Somebody tells you something about God, or somebody, you know, shares a verse with you, or somebody says something and you say, oh, okay. And you just take it. You just take their word for it. And as you take their word for it, as you just receive that into your life, it could be completely wrong. Let me give you a disclaimer tonight. Go home and pray about all of these verses. Don't just take my word for it. I can say that in all honesty. Go home and say, Lord, what does that mean? Interpret this for me, Jesus. Help me to receive this. Because I'm a finite man. I don't always have the right vocabulary and the right words to be able to explain something that is able to touch everybody's, you know, ability to learn that concept or what have you. And so this is something that I say to the glory of God that, listen, you have the opportunity to know this for yourself. Don't just take it from the teacher. Go directly to the source. Go always directly to the source. In the case with Peter in verse 33, Luke 9 and 33, it says, as the men were leaving Jesus, so this whole encounter that they're having, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, it says, as these men were leaving Jesus, Peter says to them, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And the Bible says he did not know what he was saying. I believe that it highlighted that for us for a reason. Peter had no idea what he was saying. Just like Peter had no idea what he was saying when he said, oh, Jesus, I'll go to the grave for you. I'll never deny you. And Jesus says, Peter. Before the rooster crows, man, you're going to deny me three times. Or no, you can't take him. Don't ever do this. What did Jesus say? He said, get behind me, Satan. The night that they were going to take him into captivity. And I don't know if this applies to you, but I think it applies to me. But so maybe it applies to you too. Sometimes we say real big, bold things before God. And God's going, oh, no. You don't have to say that. God, I'll never deny you. Oh, no, you don't need to do that. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Peter did not know what he was saying. I love that Scripture points that out, and I want us to understand this. There's always this pull to live in the glory of God and forget human need. There's this great desire to live in the glory of God, but completely neglect and forget human need. That is to experience the goodness and the fullness of God, but neglect the low. What does this look like? This could look like you and I, you know, being in the middle of a time at prayer at home, and the glory of God just fills your room, just fills your closet, fills that space, wherever it is that you're praying. And man, you know, you're just, the glory of God's all over, and your child's choking on a cookie over here. But man, you're just receiving the glory of God. Man, the glory of God, that's so good. It's just so good. And your kid's drowning in the pool in the backyard. Oh, man, but the glory of God, this is amazing. God. And there's something that's happening that you should be aware of, but you're not paying attention to it. What does this mean? There's a pull to live in the glory of God and forget human need. That is this. It is the discipline of serving where there is need and ministering to the low that results in glory and in the experiences of the highs. Let me further explain. Peter just wanted to remain in closeness with God. Peter was like, man, look at this. I want to build a shelter for you. I'm going to build a shelter for you. I'm going to build a shelter for you. This is the best thing ever. We can't leave. Stay right here. Don't move. And Jesus is going, no. No, you don't get it. You don't get it. You're misinterpreting the meeting, Peter. You have no idea what's actually happening. See, the point was this, was that God wanted them to be of hope that one day they would remain in that glory. But while on this earth, they also needed to labor for the Lord. Jesus was like, it can't stop here, Peter. You got work to do. You have an assignment. It's not just going to stop right there. The beauty of the new covenant is this, is that you don't need a priest to get to the presence of the Lord anymore. We have the Holy Spirit. That means that you can experience the fullness and the glory and the abundance of God wherever you are, wherever you go. But there's still a responsibility to live in this earth but not be of it. How many of you have to pay taxes this year? I hope so. Maybe I didn't get the letter, but you got to pay taxes. Why? Because you're here. It's part of the land. Amen? That speed limit sign that was on the way to church, hopefully you obeyed that too. To the glory of God, right? What's the point? The point is this, is that there's this desire to say, Lord, I just want to be in your fullness, but you understand that there's a responsibility, there's an assignment, and there's work to be done. I love that the Lord is teaching Peter this in this moment. For him on that day, it was the point was as much as of being aware of what God was doing and knowing the purpose behind it. Sometimes we're experiencing the presence of God at church or in the Word, and we get wrapped up in wanting to stay there selfishly, and we forget and neglect the purpose behind what the meeting was for. That is behind going from broken to beautiful, from the lost to the found. And that purpose should always lead us back to the purpose and the plan that the Lord has given us and commissioned us for this world. And that is the Great Commission. You see, we can come here every Wednesday. We can come here every Sunday. We can be in prayer meetings. Man, we can experience the glory of God in our homes. And if all that does is fill you and fulfill a desire in your life, then you're missing the point. You're misinterpreting the meeting. You see, we come here because this is like a pep rally. This is where you come and you get fed the Word of God, and you're taught and you're discipled the Word of God so that you can what? Make disciples of nations. Amen? That's right. There's work. We come here and we get taught the Word of God. We are you know, all in this together. We're praying and we're believing that the Lord will break chains, you know, in our cities, and will break chains over people's lives that are bound, that are still lost. And you know what? That's all good and that's all fine, but there's still work to be done. There's still a responsibility to experience the glory of God, but not get so caught up in the glory of God that we miss the assignment. Jesus, I love how Jesus worked, because he was incredibly practical. He didn't make excuses for things that, you know, we would make excuses for. The Bible illustrates in one time where Jesus was feeding the masses of people that there was a time where it was getting late at night. And the disciples tell Jesus, they said, "Shouldn't we send him home? It's getting late. You know, they've been following you around all day, all night, Jesus. Let's just send him home." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, but they're hungry." "Oh, yeah, but we don't have anything. I mean, we didn't order pizza. You know, we didn't have anything prepared. You know, I didn't make anything. There's nothing in the fridge." Anybody make excuses like that? "There's nothing in the fridge." And Jesus is going, "Well, what do you got?" He can work with what you have. I said, he can work with what you have. Don't look at what you have left. Don't look at your resource as something that he cannot touch and bless. Think about that. Don't look at the very thing you say, "God, this is all I got, man. God, I don't have much." Remember the woman, the Bible says that she was literally down to her last shekel. She was down to her last penny. And the Bible says that she gave all she had. But that there was the religious, and they stood up and they gave, you know, 500 shekels, and they gave 1,000 shekels. And Jesus said, "Listen to me. It may have seemed as though she gave less, but she actually gave more, because she gave all she had." And I want us to remove the limitations on our thinking sometimes and remember that when the Lord touches something, he can multiply it beyond, way past what you could ever think or ask. I say this because this looks like tithing. You know, some people have an issue with tithing. Well, the truth is that God could do more with the 90% that you have left over than you could ever do with the 100 that you have. Amen. Amen. I'm a testimony of that. I've lived that way since I was probably 16, 17 years old, ever since that I've been working, over 20 years of my life. And God has done more with the 90 that I could have ever done with the 100. Why? Because God can take what you have and bless it and use it for his glory and use it for his kingdom. Don't ever sell yourself short and say, "Hey, you know what? I don't have enough to be a blessing." No, no, no. That's not true. That's not true. The Bible says that he provides seed for the sower. I said he provides seed for the sower. He puts something in your life to be able to deposit into somebody else's life. Amen? Peter focused this moment on him. He liked the idea of being in good company, right? He was happy in that place. He said, "Hey, this is good. I don't want to leave Jesus. This is, you know, it was understandable." And the moment they had experienced, it was to give them a preview or a glimpse of what the future glory in eternity with Christ and the saints would ultimately be like. It was a preview. I believe I had this preview years ago in my own kind of Mount of Transfiguration way. Some brothers and I were here in church one day, and I've told you, some of you, the story before, but we were in church, and honestly, we didn't really have an agenda, you know, and I think that's kind of the way the Lord works best. But we didn't really have an agenda, and I think we were talking about something, and next thing I know, we're on our faces in the Shekinah glory of God. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, everybody went in a circle and prayed. While that's nice and everything, and that's good, there was the presence of God literally pushed us to our face. We couldn't even look up, couldn't even function, just the weight of the glory of God. Most powerful experience in Jesus I've ever had to this day. So powerful. And I know it can happen again, but it was just this powerful, powerful, powerful experience in the glory of God. And I remember experiencing this so much that it marked my life. And how many of you have ever had those mile markers with Jesus? Just something where the Lord just seared your heart. And that kind of was like the ultimate, you know, I guess, just proof, if you will, to say that I'm sold out. I'm never going back. I know that he's 100% real. I know that he deserves me giving my full life to him. And I think that was kind of that marking point for my life, where I think I must have been about 20 years old or so. And I just remember when that happened, man, I was just like, whoa. I'm never turning back. I had sang the song before that and tried to turn back. But from that point on, it was just this marking. The Bible says that he seals us with the Holy Spirit. It was just this sealing of the Holy Spirit that I knew that the Lord was real and that the Lord was to be praised and the Lord was to be served. But I could have missed the moment thinking that, oh, that's all that there was. And I believe it was a preview. It was a glimpse of what the future in heaven would be. The Bible says that the angels will be crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Bible calls heaven just this majestic, powerful experience. And I felt like that was kind of my heaven on earth experience. And the Lord said, you've got work to do. Not so I could earn my way to that place, but so I could take somebody with me. Amen? So that we could take somebody with us. The moment they had experienced was to give them that glimpse of the future. And in order for Peter to one day receive that, he first had to live out the will of God for his life on this earth. James Packer says this. He says, revival is the visitation of God which brings to life Christians who have been sleeping. And it restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. It said, then it springs a vivid sense of sin and profound exercise of heart in repentance, in praise, and love with an evangelistic outflow. You see, when there's revival in the heart of a man, when there's revival in the heart of a body of believers, of a corporate people in a church, I believe that it cannot exist without reaching somebody. It can't. But a sleeping church is a church that's not at work. A sleeping people in their spirit, in their life, is a people that is not fulfilling the will of God and the commission of God over their life. And so sometimes we're so focused on us that we forget the plan that God desires us to fulfill in order to see him face to face. You see, we don't need to buy off our families to get them to love us. We need a personal awakening. Amen? I said, we don't need to fall into sin to be socially acceptable. We need a personal awakening. We don't need to have more classes or events at church. We need to have a personal awakening. You see, we don't need a new president with all the right policies. We need a personal awakening. We don't need the latest medical breakthroughs. We need to wake up and see that Jesus contains all that we need, for all we need is to have all of him in all of us. This is exactly it. Now, notice I didn't mention this. I didn't mention to fix other people or to change others, because if we're aware and awake in Jesus, then we can and we will make a difference. You see, sometimes we think that it's like, oh, Lord, I pray that they get better. You pray that they get better. And God put the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have the answer. You're carrying it. You're carrying it wherever you go. The answer is living inside of your life. The Holy Spirit is in your life. The Holy Spirit is ready to speak. The Holy Spirit is ready to do something. You want to know how bold the Holy Spirit is? I had a conversation with a person on social media the other night. Weird conversation. But basically, I have no idea, but all I know is that they had revealed to me that their fiance had passed away. And in hearing this conversation, it just struck a chord with me. They said that it was a lady, her fiance had passed away. And I said, oh my Lord. I mean, I can't imagine. And I just said, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. And I began to kind of just to explain. I said, the Bible says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And this conversation began, and I began to minister, and I just began to speak words of life into her life. And the conversation was almost over when the Holy Spirit told me something about a hip. Now, this sounds crazy, I know. But through the internet, I'm talking to a person that's thousands of miles away. They actually live in Australia. And the Holy Spirit tells me something about the hip. I said, there's somebody near you, or there's somebody close to you, or there's the Holy Spirit's telling me something about a hip. I said, does that mean anything to you? And she responds, she says, yes. I said, okay, what's it about? That's all he told me, was a hip. Says that her dog, whom she really loves, whom is all she has left right now, her dog has a arthritic, like almost paralysis, that's started in the hip. And I said, okay. Now, this woman has said that she's not a believer just yet, is what she said. She's kind of on the fence. I said, that's okay. I said, well, in my head, I'm thinking, well, this is a great time for the Holy Spirit to just blow her mind. So she says, how did you know that? I said, Holy Spirit. She's like, how could he tell you something like that? I said, because I have a relationship with him. And so her mind's getting blown. And I asked her, I said, you know, I want you to pray for your dog. And again, this sounds completely odd and peculiar. And through texting, I said, I told her exactly what to do. And she said that she felt warmth on her dog as she prayed for the dog. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. I said, I want you to check in the next few days to see what happens to the dog. The Holy Spirit, church, is in us for the life of someone else. If you're not sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you can completely miss out on the opportunity. Sometimes we ask God, Lord, give me divine opportunity. God, I want to save the nations. God, I want to be used powerfully by you. But yet you're not sensitive enough to the person in front of you. Before Jesus was ever touching masses of people, it started with 12. Amen? It started with his relationship with his Father. It started with his relationship in the Word. And so finally tonight, if we're not awake in Jesus, you could miss out on the voice of the Lord. How easy is it to miss out on what the Lord is trying to speak to you in a world that is so loud and full of distraction? How easy is it? How difficult to hear that still small voice in the midst of a bunch of loud voices? in the midst of you having to provide for your family, you know, take care of your spouse, you know, help your children, in the midst of having to tend to your job, in the midst of, you know, TV and radio and movies and sitcoms and the government and politicians and the coronavirus and all these things that you see and hear on a daily basis. Think about this. How easy is it to miss out on the voice of God when all the world is doing is trying to pump a million voices into your life? The only way that you hear the voice of God is by the distance in which you are. If you're a million miles away in your distance with the Holy Spirit, in your relationship with God, there's no way you're going to hear what He has to say. If we put 1,000 people between us right now, and I tried to yell across from one person to the other, on the other side of this building, and try to yell something to them, there's no way they're going to hear what I have to say. And every single day, social media and TV and all the media that's out there puts all this stuff in your way. It's voice after voice after voice after voice. It's voice after voice after voice. And all of a sudden, we wonder why we can't interpret what the Lord is trying to do. We wonder why we're missing out on things. We wonder why we're not experiencing the glory of God in the same way. Luke 9:34, the Bible says that while he was speaking, a cloud appeared. So Peter is speaking. It says, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And verse 35 says, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. And the disciples kept this to themselves. And they told no one at the time what they had seen. In order, church, to listen, we need to pay attention to the only voice that matters, and that's the voice of God. Let me encourage you. There's a lot of voices that are going to speak into your life. You need to learn how to shut them out. And you need to learn how to tune that station of your heart to the only one that matters, which is God. I don't care what your profession is. I don't care what you do, where you go every single day. All I care about is that you are giving attention to the only voice that matters. 1 John 5:9 says, we accept man's testimony. Now this kind of refers to what I was talking about a minute ago. It says, we accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater. That is, you can accept the testimony that I'm giving you about God, but God's testimony is greater. That is going directly to the source. It says, it's greater because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. And anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony about God that God has given about his Son. And so what does this mean? It just means that we need to wake up. It means simply that we need to wake up. We need to snap out of that slumber that the world is in, which is losing focus and belief on God and is constantly focused on themselves. And we need to get back into a place where we're focused on God. Jesus was locked into his Father's voice. That is, he heard him through prayer. He learned about his voice through the word. And he declared the Father's voice and authority into all circumstances. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was what? The word was God. There's something that I believe this verse is telling us. If your prayer life and your Bible reading and your worship and your declaration of God's word aren't leading you to an encounter with Jesus, it could be because you're actually spiritually sleepwalking. You're doing all the necessary things. Well, Pastor Duke said to pray, so I prayed. Well, Pastor said that we're supposed to worship, so I'm worshiping. Oh, well, Pastor said that, I'm supposed to read the Bible, so I'm opening it. And there's this routine thing that's happening, and there's not an encounter with Jesus. When there's an encounter with Jesus, it changes everything. Now, I'm not saying to not do the routine. Yes, pray. Yes, read the word. Yes, worship the Lord. Yes, declare the word of God over circumstance. Do all of these things, but listen, I need to tell you that it's always supposed to lead to God. It's supposed to lead to an encounter with God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. That means that it was one thing, and now there's two things. There's a pairing that's happening, and the word was God. Where did it lead you? To God. But it started with the word, or it started with a spoken testimony. It started somewhere, but it led you to the person of Jesus. I believe this is where the Lord wants us, church. I believe this is where the Lord wants us. Instead of living in routine, He wants us to live in relationship. Instead of just living in that place where He says, oh, well, I come and I go and I attend every Wednesday, I attend every Sunday. You know what? Praise God, I'm glad you do. But it needs to lead you to an encounter with Jesus. It needs to lead you to that place where you are absolutely led by the one voice and the only voice that matters. And that is the voice of the Almighty God. As children of God, we are called to shine the light of Jesus because He is our life. He is the light that this world needs to see. How do you wake up somebody? Turn on the light. It's the most rude awakening anybody could have. My girls are hilarious. Every morning, my wife and I think we flip a coin over who has to do it because sometimes they don't wake up the nicest, but she'll tell me some days, she'll say, honey, go wake up the girls, and I'm going, ah. So I kind of get close, get my hand, I click, wake up, you know, I'll take off running because they're, you know, they don't want to wake up, they're tired. But there's something, church, about an awakening that this nation needs. And the only way that the awakening that this nation needs or is going to get is by you being that light. It's by you already being awake. When you're awake, what's happening? It's like a light. You're awake, man, and the light is just everywhere. And what does the Bible say at the end of that verse in John? It talks about, it says, in that light was what? In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And it goes on to say, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When your life is connected to the life of Jesus, when you are fully immersed with the Lord, all of a sudden, man, you got your headlights on, and your high beams are on, and they're just shining for all the world to see. And what happens? Darkness has to flee. Darkness has to move when light is given. It doesn't work the other way around. If we're living in a dark world, it's because there's no light shining. I said it's because there's no light shining. We got to look inside of our hearts. Like I said, we don't need a revival for everybody just so we can sing songs and just be happy in the presence of God for ourselves. We need a personal awakening. And when that personal awakening happens, all of a sudden it leads back to the will of God. It leads back to that place where we're doing the work that God has for us to do. Amen? If you would stand to your feet tonight. I believe that God wants to give us an awakening in our prayer life. Amen? I believe the Lord wants to give us an awakening for our families. I believe He wants to awaken our communities. I believe that He wants to awaken our ministers and ministries. I believe that He wants to awaken us as a church to fulfill the plan of God in our life. Amen? I believe that He wants to do this. Holy Spirit, we love You. We thank You right now. Holy Spirit, I know that You are moving in this room tonight. I know that You are here tonight, God. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that there would be, Father, a spiritual awakening, God, that would begin to happen. Holy Spirit, just draw us closer to You. Draw us back into that place, Lord, where You are all we want and You are all we need. Draw us back into that place, Lord Jesus, where, Father, we are solely dependent on You, God, and, Lord, we stop leaning on ourselves. You said, Father, for us to acknowledge You in all of Your ways, Lord, and lean not on our own understanding, God. And so, Lord, I pray that our lean, God, would be, Father, God, a trust, God, in a submission, God, in a surrender to You, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that You would awaken, Lord, hearts, Lord. I ask, God, that You would just awaken us, God, out of routine, Lord. Because, God, if we're stuck, Lord, in this cycle, God, if we're stuck, Lord, in this just ongoing, Lord, just thing, this routine, Lord, that keeps going on the same way, Lord, and we're not having an encounter with You, then, Lord, we pray for encounter tonight, Jesus. I pray for encounter tonight, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord. And so as we open the word, Lord Jesus, I pray that the God of the word, Lord, would speak, Lord, into our hearts, Lord, in a powerful, powerful way, God. That, Lord, when we pray, God, and when we begin, Lord, to call upon heaven, God, that encounter, God, would happen, Lord Jesus, God, in that moment, God. Because, Lord, I believe, Lord, that you desire to reveal yourself, God, to your people, Lord. You desire, God, to show yourself, God, to your people, Lord. You said, Father God, that if we would seek you diligently, God, that we would be found by you, Lord. And so, Father, I pray, God, that we would go, Father God, from servants, God, Jesus, Lord Jesus, into that place of friendship with you, God. Your word says, God, that the servant doesn't know the master's business, Lord. And so, Lord, I believe, Lord, that you want us to get even closer than we are today, Lord. It's not enough, God, to know you like we did yesterday. And so, Jesus, draw us closer to you, Lord. The only way, God, that we're going to develop more hunger for you, God, is, Lord, to continue to feed on your word, to continue to pray, Lord, to continue, God, to get closer in that moment, Lord Jesus, where we know, God, that you are our sustainer, Lord. And so, God, whatever, Lord, we are holding on to in this world, whatever we are holding on to, God, our plans, our dreams, our jobs, family, whatever we are holding on to, God, give us the trust to let go and fully hold on to you, Lord. May we trust you in that way, Lord. Just like Peter set foot, Lord, on that ocean, God, and he began to walk on that sea because he wasn't focused on where he was walking, but he was focused on you, Jesus. His eyes were locked into your eyes, God. His heart was locked into your heart. He responded to your voice. So let it be with your people, God, in these last days. That, Lord, as we move about this world, God, that our eyes stay focused on you. That our hearts stay connected to you, Lord. Awaken your church, God. Awaken us, Lord. Into a place, Lord God, where we see darkness flee because light is moving in and because light is taking over. We love you, Jesus, and I just thank you tonight, Lord. I thank you for every family represented, God. I thank you, Lord, for every heart in the room tonight, Lord. I ask, Lord, a blessing over every single one of them tonight in Jesus' name. Awaken our souls, God, to do and fulfill this work, God, that you've given us. We are called to be a light, God, into this world, Lord. We are called to be salt to this earth, Lord. And so, Jesus, Lord, just use us, God, in our communities. Use us in our workplaces, God. Use us in our neighborhoods and in our families, Lord. To be, Father God, Lord Jesus, those vessels of light, God. Those people of salt, Father God, Lord Jesus, to bring flavor, God, to this world once again, Lord. May we be, Father God, those, Lord, that the world longs to be like, Lord. And so, Father, just continue to work through us, God. And as, Lord, you are building us up, Father God, never let us forget, God, that we were, Father God, put in this world, God, to be, Father God, those that would extend the hand of the Lord, Jesus, to somebody, God, to pull them out of the mud and mire, just like you did for us. We are grateful tonight, Jesus, and we are thankful tonight for your word. Plant it, God, deep in our hearts, Lord, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a praise tonight, church? Praise God. He is so good. Amen. Let's push into the presence of God. Amen. I want you this week, go home if you haven't done it yet. Spend more time in the Word. Whatever your routine is, break it up. Okay? I'm serious. If you get on your phone and you read one verse in the morning, that's fine. Make it two. If you spend 10 minutes reading the Word, make it 20. If you spend, 5 minutes in prayer with your family, make it 10. Whatever it is that you do, I want you to double it. Because I believe the Lord will meet us in that place and he'll show himself and he'll pour out increase into your life. Amen? Do that. Amen. God bless you, church. We love you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.